The silence in the church was profound, and he turned his head slowly, letting his eyes sweep the congregation, making direct contact with as many other eyes as possible. "It is Mother Church's task to keep all of her children from harm as well," he told them. "Mother Church is the fortress of the children of God, raised and ordained by the archangels to be God's servant in the world, established as the great teacher to his people. And so, in times of danger, in times of pestilence, of tumult, of storm and fire and earthquake, and war, the children of God turn to God's holy church as a child seeks his father's arms in the windstorm, his mother's embrace when nightmare rules his night. She is our home, our refuge, our touchstone in a world too often twisted by violence and cruelty and the ambition of men. As the holy Bedard herself tells us, she is a great lamp set high on a hill, illuminating all of us as she illuminates every inch of God's creation with the reflection of his holy light." He paused once more, feeling them, feeling the weight behind their eyes as his words washed over them, and he inhaled deeply. "This is one of those times of tumult and war," he said quietly. "Our princedom has been invaded. Our prince lies slain, and his son and heir with him. We have been occupied by a foreign army, and the clergy of a strange church, a schismatic church, separated and apart from Mother Church, at war with Mother Church, have come to us with frightening, heretical words. Thousands of our fathers and sons and brothers were slain at the Battle of Darkos Sound, or fell in battle here, defending their own soil, their own homes. And as we look upon this tide of catastrophes, this drum roll of disasters, we cry out to God, to the archangels, to Mother Church, seeking that promised guidance and protection, begging for the inner illumination which will lead all of us to the light in the midst of such darkness. Allow us to make some sort of sense of the chaos and somehow find God's voice amid the thunder. I know there are many in this princedom, in this very city, who call upon us to rise in just resistance, in defiance of the foreign swords and bayonets about us, to cast off the chains and dishonor of oppression. And I know that many of you, my children, are torn and frightened and confused by the sight of Mother Church's own priesthood splitting, tearing apart into opposing factions, into factions being denounced and denouncing one another as traitors, heretics, apostates. Blasphemer, some shout, and corrupter of innocence, others return. And when the shepherds assail one another, where shall the sheep find truth? He unfolded his hands and very, very gently, reverently, caressed the huge book lying closed in front of him. "Here, my children." He spoke so softly, those farthest from the pulpit had to strain to hear him, yet still his superbly trained voice carried clearly. "Here," he repeated. "In this book, in the word of God himself, and of the archangels he sent into his world to do his work and to carry his law to us, here is where we will find truth." And yet, his voice gained a little strength, a little power. As Langhorne himself warned us would be the case, the truth is not always pleasant hearing. The truth does not always come to us in the guise we would prefer. It does not always tell us we have been correct, that it must be someone else who has been in error, and it is not always safe. It demands much, and it brooks no self-deception. If we fall from a tree, the truth may be a bruise, or a sprain, or a broken limb, or neck. If we do not heed the word of God in time of peace, if we ignore his truth in times of tranquility, then we must learn it in the tempest. He will send his truth in whatever form he must in order to make us, his stubborn, willful, self-absorbed children, hear it. And that form can include foreign warships, foreign swords and bayonets, and even heretical priests forced upon us at sword's point by foreign rulers. The silence was as deep, as attentive as ever, yet it had changed as well. It was harder, tenser. It was wary and watchful, holding its breath, as if the people behind that stillness were aware he was about to say something he had never before been permitted to say. The Holy Bedard tells us in today's scripture that Mother Church is not the servant of man, that she is not to be perverted and used for the vain, corrupt ambition of this world, that she is to be kept without spot or blemish. We do not wish to believe she could ever be anything else, that God would ever permit his church to fall into evil, permit his great lamp to become a source not of illumination, but of darkness. We cry out in anger if anyone dares to tell us our wishes are in vain. We brand those who tell us such things can happen to Mother Church with every vile label we can conceive: blasphemer, heretic, apostate, excommunicate, accursed of God, servant of darkness, spawn of Shanwei, child of evil. The list goes on forever. And yet, much though it grieves me, bitterly though my heart weeps within me, it is not the heretics who have lied to us. It is not the Church of Charis which has become the handmaiden of Shanwei. It is Mother Church.